May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 356. 356. Does the gospel word proclaim rest for those who weary be? Then, my soul, put in thy claim. Sure that promise speaks to thee. Marks of grace I cannot show. All polluted is my breast. Yet I weary am, I know, and the weary long for rest. Hymn 356.
Thank you. the Lord help us to read from his holy word, the Gospel according to St. John, part of chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he should do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, we do ask for thy gracious help here this evening. Without thee we can do nothing. And we do desire to know that which the apostle could say in such confidence, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Do strengthen us, Lord, with that mind, by thy Spirit in our inner man. Lord, do grant the strength of faith, the strength of the fear of the Lord, the strength of the love of God, the strength of the righteousness of Jesus. Lord, may we be strong. Lord, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that's the only real strength. Lord, make us weak enough for it. The psalmist said, He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, Oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. And we do ask for thy Holy Spirit. Without thee, blessed Spirit of truth, there can be no worship. We do pray for the people of God. Thou wouldst bless them, Lord, with the leading of the Spirit this evening. And this poor sinner in the pulpit, may we be led together. May there be that unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Lord, do grant such a blessing, even that our cup may run over. Lord, there is a fullness in thee. However empty we are, thou canst make our cup run over out of thy fullness. Lord, it's all of thy grace. It's all of thy sovereign good pleasure. And we would, Lord, ask that it might be thy good pleasure to grant a blessing this evening on thy word. It may be an evening to be remembered by many, each of us, if it might please thee, to realise the Lord is in this place. This is none other than the house of God and the very gate of heaven. Lord, we're poor things, perishing sinners. Lord, fast hastening toward a never-ending eternity. Lord, we pray to be kept from all arrogance and pride and boasting. Thou hast said, boast not of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh, may we be so wrought upon by thy Spirit, Lord, that we shall be brought to thee today, not knowing there will be a tomorrow with us, but knowing there will be an eternity with us. Lord, prepare us for it today, we pray. Lord, assure thy people's consciences of their part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear thy witness with our hearts that we are born of God. Lord, do speak with power. Thou art almighty. Lord, we cannot comprehend thee. But oh, we would know that almighty power. We thank thee for it, that there is an almighty power that can save. Just as there is an almighty power that can eternally destroy. And we plead him, thy dear Son, of whom the hymn writer said, out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. Lord, if we're in him, do assure us of it and give us the experience of it this evening. If any of us are out of him, as we've come in here, may we be brought in this evening. Lord, in him almighty power cannot destroy, but shall save, hath saved. And thou knowest the cases of thy people. Lord, is it not as it was in the days of thy flesh and at even? They brought to thee all that were diseased with divers diseases and with devils. And Lord, thou didst heal them all. And we do ask that it may be so even this evening, that every disease of thy people may be healed. every trouble, Lord, every guilty pang, Lord, the sins, they may be blotted out. The guilty conscience may be healed with the application of the balm of Gilead, the precious blood of thy dear Son. Lord, we may be healed of our unbelief, of our worldliness, of our fears, and Lord, of our idolatry, of our mistakes, healed of everything erroneous. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Bless this people. Help them, Lord. Thou said, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And are not those, are there not many of thy people, indeed all of them, in some degree or other, some in deeper trouble at this time than others, but while we are here on this earth, it is a day of trouble. Lord, we're sinners. That's our greatest trouble. But thou said, call upon me in that day. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Help us to call, Lord. We need to be told to by thee, and we need to be enabled. Lord, what backwardness we find to that which is so blessed. How blessed it is to pray. For Lord, is thy gift. Lord, we pray, help us to pray on. And if any have not begun, Lord, may they begin tonight. That it should be said of them, behold, he or she prayeth. And bless our friend and brother at the desk in the hymns. Bless his labours in this and in every respect as the deacon here. And our friend and brother away, seeking rest and change. Do be with him and bless his labours among this people. And Lord, unite the church closer and closer together, and appear for them in all their concerns, and direct them to do thy will. And Lord, do grant them all sufficient grace and wisdom and strength and courage, and that love of God which constraineth, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ which enableth, and the blessed influence of the Spirit guiding and leading and teaching. We do pray for thy blessing on those away. Thou wouldst watch over and keep them and be with them where they are and return them in peace and safety at the appointed time. And remember others not able to be here through affliction or caring for young children. Bless them and help them. Any able, Lord, to listen at home, oh, do we beseech thee, overcome any hindrance there may be. Grant thy blessed favour of knowing the Lord as their sanctuary, wherever they are. Lord, we plead thy blessing on Zion. We long to see an outpouring of thy Spirit and feel it in our own hearts. Lord, there are so many things which we see which we would not see. We see the work of sin, the work of the devil. And Lord, we do pray that thou hast overcome these things. Pardon the sins of thy people and grant them repentance and toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. Lord, there may be a restoration of the fallen, recovery of backsliders, a restorer, Lord, of the breaches. Lord, the sinners might once again walk in the narrow way that leadeth unto life eternal. And do help each of thy sent servants. Some of them labour in much weakness of body. Be very gracious and merciful to them in this. And others are thy people, Lord. It has pleased thee to lay on them thy afflicting hand. And we do pray that there may be those everlasting arms underneath, that they shall not be overcome in these things. Lord, that thou wouldst comfort them with that comfort wherewith a mother comforteth her children. Lord, that thou wouldst speak in it all, and that thou wouldst assure thy people that thy chastisements and thy afflictions are not in anger, but in thy covenant love. We thank thee for every mercy, those of us that do have health and strength in a good measure. We thank thee for it. Lord, ever keep us mindful of the frailty of our frame, and that all health and strength cometh from thee. And do give us the grace, Lord, to rightly use the health and strength thou givest us. Forgive our sins in our misuse of it. When we use health and strength in sin, and Lord, alas, how often we do, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Lord, be merciful. Blot out as a thick cloud our transgressions, and as a cloud our iniquities. Lord, may even this evening we be favoured with this blessing. Lord, the assurance, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Lord, do strengthen thy afflicted servants. Could it please thee to spare them and raise them up? And Lord, they shall not die but declare the works of the Lord. And do raise up true labourers into thy harvest. Able ministers of the New Testament, who shall be enabled to speak of what thou hast revealed to them and what thou dost reveal to them. Lord, we pray for the Spirit's gracious teaching upon every minister whom thou hast sent forth. We need thy continual teaching. Lord, we pray that we may not become clouds with no water, no rain. We pray we may not become a barren breast to thy people. We pray we may not become a burden to them. We pray we may not become irksome to them. Lord, we pray to be kept from anything which would grieve thy people. But Lord, above all, keep us from that which grieves thee. Lord, if it doesn't grieve thee, it will not grieve thy people. Lord, we pray, give us a thankful heart for all thy goodness to us, and a broken heart on account of all our sin, and a thankful heart on account of all thy mercies. Pardon all we ask amiss, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
hymn number 967. 967. God of my life, to thee I call. Afflicted, at thy feet I fall. When the great water floods prevail, leave not my trembling heart to fail. Hymn 967.
Oh,
dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 11. Verses 3 and 4. John 11, verses 3 and 4. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Particularly those words, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Jesus said, didn't he, in John 6, No man cometh unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And here we find that bringing together of the Lord's people and himself, that coming together. And the Lord has laid on them something to bring them to Christ. Nor will the afflicted to Jesus apply till quacks give them up and they think they must die. But they shall come. He says, doesn't he, in the Psalms, or the church says of him, By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us. O thou art the confidence of the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea. This 11th chapter of John has been made very precious to the Lord's people over all those years since it was written. Because here in the case of Lazarus is the case of all the church of God. He's one of those representative characters. There are many of them in the Word of God. Really, all the Lord's people whose cases are recorded in the Word of God are representative characters. And I would speak to the encouragement of anyone here this evening, young or old. And you find in the Word of God characters with whom you can relate, with whom you can feel a union. And you long, don't you, that as you know the trouble, the death, the affliction, the grief, the enemies, the lost and ruined condition, you might know the other side of it, that those people in his word knew. So your prayer is, look thou upon me and be merciful to me as thou usest to do to those that love thy name. If you can find your case in any way set forth in the Word of God in regard to the case of the Lord's people, there's hope, my dear friend. And here in the case of Lazarus, he's got to the very bottom, hasn't he? I was led to this text really through considering what Hannah said in her song of thanksgiving. When the Lord graciously answered her prayer and delivered her from her sorrowful condition. She said, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. He raiseth the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set him among princes." And this man Lazarus, you know, Mary and Martha, they were granted the gracious help of the Lord in sending this message to Jesus. The way they put it, it was right, wasn't it? "He whom thou lovest." They didn't say, "Lord, he who loves thee." Though we can be sure that Lazarus had had the love of Christ in his heart. But you see, that wasn't constant. But Christ's love to Lazarus was constant. "He whom thou lovest." And any love that Lazarus had ever felt, any love he ever had moving in his heart and moving him, it was Jesus' love. So even in the way they put this request to the Lord, they give honour to him, "He whom thou lovest is sick." And of course, they did well by the aid of the Spirit in sending this message to the Lord. Just as it was with those disciples of John after he had been beheaded, they took the body of their late preacher, leader, buried it, and we read, and they went and told Jesus. But you see, though this was the right thing that they did, it was the best thing they could have done. It wasn't as easy as some people make it out to be. As though going and telling Jesus, "From then on it'll all be plain sailing." No. The very opposite of that, wasn't it? As regards their experience of it. But you know, the Lord has his way in the whirlwind. He has his way in the storm. From God's viewpoint, it was plain sailing. Because his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not ours. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are his ways and thoughts higher than ours. His footsteps are not known. If there is one thing these dear women and Lazarus too were taught in this experience that John 11 records, is the creature's utter helplessness and lack of understanding. Their dependence upon the Lord. But you see how wonderfully they learn how much the Lord loved their brother and how much he loved them. His love to Lazarus was enough that he should raise him from the dead, and don't forget what that meant for the Lord Jesus Christ. He could never have raised Lazarus from the dead if he were not to die himself and raise himself from the grave. He could have never raised Lazarus from the dead, from the grave, the place of the dead, the place where sin has put the body. He could never have raised that body up if he hadn't put away Lazarus's sin. And what moved him to put away Lazarus's sin is love to Lazarus. 'Tis love the cause unfolds, the grand mysterious cause, why he all the world upholds, hangs upon yonder cross. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, and of course we shouldn't think that this came as news to the Lord Jesus. Nothing does. The Lord knew all about it. He is the Son of God. His knowledge is infinite. He seeth everything everywhere and knoweth everything everywhere. When Jesus heard that, you see, he was answering. He was answering the message that was sent to him. That's the when Jesus heard that. And it was of him that the message had been sent. When Jesus heard that. You know, there's an appointed time for every prayer that any one of the Lord's people has ever prayed. There's an appointed time for every answer. But here the Holy Spirit sets before you and me, my dear friend. And that's regardless of whether you feel to be a child of God or not. He sets before us here in this word of the gospel that which is it is his will that his people should do. The world to creature objects flies, their maladies to heal. But Zion cries to God on high, do thou thy face reveal. But as you've probably heard me say more than once in the past, why was it that Jonah didn't begin to pray until he had been 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish? Because prayer is the gift of God. Praying will stop sinning, or sinning will stop praying. And in Jonah's case, the sinning stopped praying. But he's a child of God. The praying has to begin again. The praying has to begin again. And who's going to begin it? It was God that gave Jonah his first prayer. It was God that gave you your first prayer. You may have been a little child. And how thrilled you were when you got that first answer. Shame on you, my dear friend, and shame on me. That since then we've so often been so backward to pray. But if God began in the matter, he will in your soul's experience begin again. The Lord Jesus said, didn't he, except ye be converted and become as little children. What do little children have to do? They have to keep asking. And we have to be converted every day so that we keep asking. Do make me, Lord, a little child, right simple-hearted, meek and mild, and loving to the end. Save me from this prayerless, foolish thought. On the one hand, I can go on without prayer. On the other hand, this foolish, sinful thought that it's no use me praying, the case is too hard, I am too bad. No. His sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, oh, what a wonderful thing it would be if the Lord so blessed this word this evening. And even in this word here, someone here gets the sentence of God that Jesus has heard it. That's all that matters, isn't it? We men who speak in public and the men that speak in private in their home at the family altar, hey, we need the Lord to help us. Just to pour out our heart in simplicity to Almighty God with only one thing in view. Not the people that are going to hear, whether they be just one or two in the home or a congregation in the prayer meeting or in a service. The only thing that matters, Jesus heard that. How often a child of God has no intimation that Jesus has heard it. Well, the word declares, and the hymn writer beautifully puts it, doesn't he? The word declares that the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Jesus will not your cries forget. But you see, the thing was, Jesus gave the divine sentence concerning what had happened. And you and I must have that from him concerning what has happened in our case. What is happening in our case? And it may be just as it was with Mary and Martha here, with that case of a loved one that you have brought to the Lord Jesus Christ for the Lord to give you his sentence. To speak it with power so that you know where things stand. And what the Lord Jesus said here was wonderful, and yet, like all the words of the Lord, they are mysterious words. They are words which only he himself can be the interpreter of. What would the carnal, natural interpretation of this word be? Yes, he's sick, but he's not going to die. But he did die. The Lord confounds all carnal wisdom. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Well, then, how are they discerned if they are spiritually discerned? Can you, by trying hard, spiritually discern something? No. The things that are spiritually discerned have to be spelt out to us by the Lord. We have to have them revealed to us. And you see, that's the humbling part. This is why these things are so, my dear friend. God is God, the infinite God. Job said, didn't he, behold, God is great, and behold, we know him not. When the Lord spoke to Job in those latter chapters of the book, spoke of himself to Job, and evidently gave to Job the spiritual understanding to fall before those words and to believe what God was telling him, because God himself was answering Job out of the whirlwind. Behold, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's the religion of the Holy Ghost that the Word of God sets before us. Dear Berridge says, doesn't he, we must not learn God's truth as schoolboys learn their task. It's no use trying to listen to sermons like you would listen to a lecture, or you children like you would listen to a lesson in your schoolroom. That's not how you're going to be taught. That's not how you're going to have things put in your memory and retain them. God writes things on the fleshy tables of the heart, not in pen and ink, but with his own finger. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. In the glorification of the Son of God. Really, that means the revelation of the Son of God to his people. The Son of God is glorified when he is revealed to his people. Paul says this, doesn't he, writing to the Corinthians. He says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God, the Son of God, is glorified when he is revealed. And where does Lazarus, and where do Mary and Martha have to be brought to have the Son of God revealed to them? How is he revealed to them? He is revealed to them as he actually does what he came into this world to do. As he does what no one else could possibly do. He does it out of his love. He does it out of his goodness. He does it in his way. He does it with his word. What is that? He raises a sinner from the dead. That is the very ultimate purpose of the Son of God. From all eternity. This is why God had a Son. The eternal God who is without beginning and without end. From all eternity, there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the purpose of the Son to bring sinners up from the grave of their fallen state in their first head, Adam. Bring them into a blessed and eternal life and union with Almighty God, one with him. This sickness is not unto death. But Lazarus died. Because life is not what men think it is. Life is not the natural life that you and I have. And that teaching really is the sum and substance of the experience of a sinner through all their spiritual pathway through this life. Paul said to the Colossians, he wrote to the Colossians, ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. This sickness is not unto death. Lazarus is going to die. But in the covenant of grace, his life does not consist in his natural life. His life is Christ. I am, said Christ, the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This sickness. But what does the sickness of Lazarus set before us? Since it is sin that is the very root cause of death, the sickness of Lazarus represents the sickness of sin. All men have it, but few men die with it in the way Lazarus died with it and rose again. But every one of the Lord's people will die with that sickness. And the first time they die with that sickness will not be when the appointed time comes for their natural life to end on this earth. Paul said, didn't he, I die daily. Every day, by the blessed work of the Holy Spirit upon him, he died. What does that mean? Every day he knew he was a sinner. Every day he was convinced, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? Now what is death? What can a dead person do? Nothing. They can't feel anything. They can't see anything. They can't say anything. They can't move. And that is what this experience, this sickness is in the Lord's people. It's a sovereign work of God. We which live, said Paul, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal bodies. You know, in most sicknesses, of course, it's not always so. We were reminded recently of that young man down in Kent, dying very, very suddenly. But most sicknesses progress, don't they? What ends in fatality very often begins in a very slightest symptom. And so it is with the Lord's people in the operation of the Spirit. What begins with this spiritual death, what ends in this spiritual death, begins in the very slightest symptom of beginning to be concerned about your soul. Beginning to feel guilty about some of the things you do in your life. Beginning to feel uneasy about how things are between your soul and God. And the proof that that is the work of the Spirit is that that affliction doesn't get better till it gets worse. It does get worse. As the Lord leads that sinner on, they are convinced more and more the pains of their soul get greater, the weakness of their soul gets greater, the anxiety of their soul gets greater, and it's with them just as it is with many sick people. What began with something fairly trivial and they thought they would soon be over it, now they're facing death. Now it's really serious. That one thought that a few outward reformations would heal them, That one, realizing that he was or she was sinning, convinced themselves and probably promised God that they would stop doing these sins, they would stop committing these sins. That one that realized they were ignorant of God, they were not a believer in God, they convinced themselves that they would believe in God. They would please God. But God was dealing with them in his way. And instead of getting better, though they spent all their money on physicians, they did not get better, but rather grew worse. This sickness is not unto death. Because every increasing conviction of sin brings that sinner, by the Lord's leadings, a little nearer Christ. But they don't think to be getting, they don't think they're getting nearer to Christ, do they? You know, I've often felt how true it is, and I believe I've proved it many times in my own experience, when we feel we are furthest off from Christ, we're actually nearest. What do we feel? What is it makes us feel so far off from Christ? A sense of our sin, a sense of our wretchedness, a sense of our ungodliness. But weren't those the people that Jesus had to do with? Did he have to do with the self-righteous Pharisees? No. He's in one of those self-righteous Pharisees' house. Simon, but who is he having to do with? And who is having to do with him? The woman in the city which was a sinner. And how is she having to do with him? Is she coming to him and saying, Lord, I was a sinner, but I'm better now. Oh, I do love thee, Lord, and I will serve thee with all my heart. Oh, I do believe in thee, Lord. No, she was weeping over her sins and after him. She was washing his feet with her tears and wiping them with the hairs of her head. Why? She had guilt on her conscience. The pain of her past offences. But oh, how precious he was to her in that situation she was in. The Holy Ghost had done it. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. But for the glory of God. You see, when the Son of God is glorified, his Father is equally glorified. And so is the Holy Ghost. To save our souls, all concerned. Oh, the love of the Father. Oh, you read of it, don't you, in Isaiah 53. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. To the glory of God. Now, just for a few moments, if the Lord may help us, see how the Lord wrought out in these people's cases what he had said. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. In the glory of God, there is his supreme, unquestionable sovereignty. God, and I speak it most reverently, my dear friend, he will not be pushed around. He will be prayed unto. He will have sinners plead with him. And he will answer them, but it will be at his time and in his way. And that's part of the glory of God. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's his glory. And so Jesus, when he had heard this message, he abode 2 days in the same place. But that didn't mean that he wasn't mindful of what was going on at Bethany. Oh, he was. Just because you don't get the answer to your petition, it doesn't mean Jesus hasn't heard it, and it doesn't mean he doesn't care. He is simply waiting to be gracious. Why must Jesus stay 2 days? In those 2 days, Lazarus died. It may be there's someone here this evening, and you're even now saying, like Martha said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." You've prayed to the Lord about a matter and it has got worse. That doesn't mean, my dear friend, it's not going to end with your soul rejoicing. But it does mean it's going to end with your soul glorifying God. And you know, one of the things in which the Lord brings this glory to his name and enables his people to glorify him is as they have to acknowledge. And we have it, don't we, in one place in the Gospels. They came from seeing what Jesus had done, and they said, "He hath done all things well." And you see, if you could have seen how it was going to all work out well, the glory wouldn't be the Lord's. We have to be humble, my dear friend. Going back to that text I quoted earlier, "Except ye be converted and become as little children." That little child. Oh, can they plan things out? Can they order things? No. But oh, how they glory when in his love or her love, their father or mother does that for them and is to them that which they rejoice in, and it isn't because of anything about the child. The child hasn't ordered it. No. It's all on account of the love and the union between that father, that mother, and that child. And it's all on account of the union, my dear friend, between God and you, child of God. And why is there that union? You didn't make it. You didn't deserve it. You don't maintain it. It was settled in the eternal settlement of the covenant, and it is wrought by the Holy Spirit against so much opposition from you. You see, that's why the Lord suffered these women to say these things to the Lord Jesus. And you know, when the Lord delivers us, he makes us graciously ashamed of our unbelief, of our misunderstandings, of the things we've said to him. And what's the result of this? Despite all my misunderstandings, despite all the things I've said to him, despite all my questionings of him, he has saved me. That's the glory of God. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. It is not unto death, because Lazarus is loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is going to raise him from the dead. He's going to raise him from the dead. He's able to. But how is this ability of the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed? It can't be revealed without death, can it? When the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to raise the dead, what can he do if there are no dead? What can he do for you, my dear friend, if you're not dead? Well, you see, it's him, as Hannah said, who does the killing. In love. You see, in those 2 days when he abode still in the same place, the Lord Jesus was doing what Hannah said, the Lord killeth. And while he withholds these things from you, my dear friend, what do? You must die. If you're one whom the Lord is saving, when the Lord withholds, you must die. Because you're under the law. That law says, do this and thou shalt live. And you've tried to do it and you can't. And now the Lord is bringing you to the point where you're facing this and you're really finding it out. Lazarus really found out. He breathed his last. Death is a reality. The Lord's people come to prove this. They come to find out that death is a reality before they die at the end of their natural life. They find I can't do a thing. But they find I am under the sentence of death. It's death not to be able to do a thing. It's death not to be able to cease from sinning. It's death not to be able to believe on the Lord. It's death not to be able to repent. It's death not to be able to love the Lord my God with all my heart and with all my soul. But then how did the Lord raise Lazarus from the grave, from the dead? Well, he didn't stay away from Bethany. He came to Bethany. He visited the place. We know that it wasn't strictly necessary, as the case of the centurion's servant shows. You know, even though the Lord Jesus didn't physically visit that house where the centurion's servant lay sick, by speaking as he did go to that house in the power of the Spirit. But here he physically came to this very place. And you know there's a purpose for that. When Jesus was coming to the grave of Lazarus, his own grave was before him. Undoubtedly, in his love to Lazarus and in his love to Mary and Martha, his groanings and his weeping was on account of the suffering, the grief they were enduring. But it was more than that. Jesus had in his view his own grave, and that's why he had to come to the grave of Lazarus. So this is the first way in which this sickness was not unto death. Jesus was going to come to this dead man. and he was going to speak to him. You know, when you're in this position I'm trying to set before you this evening, this is one thing that really identifies that you are in this place. Doesn't matter what anyone else says to me, doesn't have any effect. I need the voice of the resurrection and the life. This sickness is not unto death, because I'm going to go and speak to this dead man. I'm going to go and speak to this law-condemned sinner who has the sentence of death in themselves. I'm going to go and speak to this poor sinner who is brought to the end of all their own faith. And by speaking to them, they're going to believe. I'm going to come and speak to this sinner who can't love me. And by speaking to me, but to them, they're going to love me. Because I'm going to speak to them in love. This one that can't believe their sins are forgiven, I'm going to speak to them and say, thy sins are forgiven. That's the sentence of life from the dead. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. You cannot have committed too many sins if Jesus come and speak forgiveness. Death is the very limit, isn't it? The Lord killeth and maketh alive. What I'm saying when I say death is the limit, you can't be worse than being dead. That the Son of God should be glorified. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And you that are in this position tonight, oh, may the Lord so fix this word on your heart that you're waiting for the Lord to fulfill this word. You're not any longer trying to get out of that grave, because as Jesus said in the vision of the dry bones, he says, I will open your graves and bring you up out of your graves. You may be in such trouble tonight, I don't know what it is, but the Lord knows. And you feel to be completely shut in. And you can't get out. Speaking of Cyrus as he uses him as a type of his son, God says, I will go before thee and open the two-leaved gates. I'll cut in sunder the bars of iron, break in pieces the gates of brass. Jesus can say, this sickness is not unto death. In all his people's afflictions, he was afflicted. He had no sickness. In relation to his own case, but there was never one more afflicted than the Lord Jesus Christ. When his disciples forsake him and flee, when the sentence is given, crucify him. When the nails are driven through his sacred hands and feet, When he lifts up his voice in that awful, lamentable cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did it not appear that this sickness was unto death? Did it not appear that he had taken on one thing too many? But he hadn't. Blessed be his dear name. They threw this at him in his death throes, didn't they? If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. If thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us. Do not die. And do not let us die. But he and his people must die. But he raises himself. This sickness is not under death because the blood of Jesus Christ is indeed the balm of Gilead. The blood of Jesus Christ speaks life. The life is in the blood. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ speaks life. The very name of the Lord Jesus Christ speaks life. And his lips speak life. And his looks look life. My dear friend, whether it be a glimpse of him you get by faith, a word of his blessed mouth, a warming of his sacred influence upon you, there's life in it. And that is all there is, but it's enough. Naaman, 7 times he washes in Jordan and he comes up again. And his flesh is as the flesh of a little child. David, adultery, murder, I've put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. But when did David experience that? It wasn't when he was justifying himself, was it? You see, when he was justifying himself, he was alive. But when Nathan said to him, thou art the man, he died. But the Spirit brought forth from his heart those confessions, those heartfelt confessions. And then he gets the answer. I've put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. This sickness of sin is not unto death. See the healing power of God being put forth upon that dead person, the Holy Ghost. Jonah, I mentioned him earlier, in the belly of the great fish. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Salvation is of the Lord. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He's glorified as every single particle of my life is him. That's when he's glorified. When you only live through what he is to you. You only live through what he says to you. You only live through what he suffered for you. You only live by the blood he shed for you. In him you live and move. And have your very being. And to do that, he must slay you first. And this is a process that is going on the whole of a believer's experience here on this earth. As we quoted earlier, Paul's words, I die daily. But this sickness is not unto death. Do you not find it so, child of God? The Holy Spirit causes you to come to Christ in all your deaths, and you prove thereby this sickness is not unto death. Naturally speaking, and of course that is the blessedness of heaven, there will be no sin. Naturally speaking, on this earth you think, oh, how much better it would be if I wasn't a sinner. And of course it would be, but that's not possible here on this earth. But being a sinner fits you for Christ. He welcomes that sinner. If you come to the end of the day and say to the Lord, Lord, I've not done too badly today, he'll say, you don't need me then. But if you're abroad, to have to confess, Lord, I've miserably failed. I've come short in everything. Lord, forgive me. And if you could quicken yourself to prayer, if you could quicken yourself to desires, the Lord would say the same. You've no need of me. Christ doesn't save those who can create their own desires. He's a complete Saviour for complete sinners. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God should be glorified thereby. Oh, what glory he will get in heaven when around him is that company of millions of redeemed souls and bodies. And he's raised them all. And he is the life, the sum and the substance of all their salvation. Amen.
God willing, the church members will meet for prayer on Friday evening at 8 o'clock. And Mr. Timothy Parrish will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn number 1071. 1071. Happy soul that free from harms rests within his shepherd's arms, who his quiet shall molest, who shall violate his rest. Hymn 1071.
O Lord, do bless thy word. Blot out anything that has been of self. Raise in power what is sown in weakness. Let the word remain. Do not leave us to leave it all behind when we leave thy house. Oh, go with us, Lord. Grant us journeying mercies. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, both now and forever. Amen.